my sincere hope that that indeed is each and every one of our stories, that this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Certainly, as we think of this life and the brevity of it, we look forward to going home to be with the Lord. I've been fortunate enough to travel several places on this earth, but there's no place like home. And I can't help but think about the fact that, you know, that's the way it is with us in wanting to go home to heaven. We realize this earth is not our home. So I'd like to talk about that a little bit this morning. Where is home? Well, we know. John 14, in the first four verses, Jesus said to his apostles, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know." Well, they had a perception of where his home was. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, it says, "We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And the building he was talking about was the tabernacle of our body. We know that our body wears out, that it's not designed to go on and on and on and on and on. But eventually it wears out and will not support life as we know it. But we know that if this tabernacle was destroyed, that we have a building of God. We know that, as he's going to say in 1 Corinthians 15, that this body is going to be resurrected, it's going to be changed. It's going to be a spiritual body. It'll be the same body, but it'll be spiritual, not physical. And that place for that body is in the heavens. It's in heaven itself with Almighty God. And so we sing, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop." We realize that heaven is our desired home. But heaven is just one of two places we can go after this life. Not everybody who dies goes to heaven. In Matthew 5 and verse 26, Jesus talks about that judgment day. He says, "These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So there's one of two places we can go: everlasting punishment or eternal life. And of course, we want to go to that place of eternal life. No one would call hell home, because when we think of home, we think of it as a place that is peaceable and friendly and restful and joyful. When we're at work or we're shopping or we're even on vacation, we long to get home, because you don't get a whole lot of rest when you're on vacation, do you? It's just fun to get home and to sit down in your favorite chair and enjoy just the relaxation that you have at home and the people that you're with, your family, and your friends. How do you get home? You know, we all left our homes this morning, and we know how to get back to our homes. But this is, when we're talking about heaven, we're talking about someplace we've never been. We're just pilgrims here on this earth, longing to get home. To make heaven our home, we must first desire to make heaven our home. In Hebrews 11 and verses 8 through 10, we find the explanation given. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. He was home. But God told him to leave that place and go to a new home, an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in a land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God told him, I've got a new home for you, and not just for you, but for your descendants. He'd never been there, didn't know where it was, but he had a desire to go and to obey God, and so he went. In Hebrews 11 and verse 16, it says, now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. That city called heaven, that city four square, that city with pearly gates and streets of gold. The Hebrew writer is talking about those of times past who by faith desired a better city also. And although we might enjoy our home here, we look forward to something better. In Philippians 1 and verses 23 and 24, he says, I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh, which is more needful for you. I suppose we all get to a place in our life where the desire to depart is stronger than the desire to stay. That the desire to make that transition from here to there grows stronger than the desire to stay. Paul was at a point where he had a desire to depart and be with Christ, but he also had a desire to remain in the flesh, which was more needful for the church. The time would come when his desire to depart would grow stronger than the desire to remain here. That his work here was accomplished. And he was leaving the work of God in the hands of those that he had trained. He had the same desire that he had to share the truth and lead others to that eternal home. To make heaven our home, not only must we desire to go there, but we must decide to go there. When Abraham was told about a place of inheritance for him, he had a desire to go, but not only did he desire to go, he decided to go. And he went out. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. He is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is willing that all should come to repentance. That's our decision to make. No one can make that decision for us. If heaven is going to be our home, we must decide that I'm going to stop living for myself and gratifying the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and start living to the glory of God in keeping His commandments. To make heaven our home, we must know the way. And that way, of course, is through Christ. When Jesus said, the way you know, one of his apostles said to him, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But everyone who comes to the Father comes through Christ, comes through the way, comes through the truth, comes through the life. They live the life that Christ teaches us to live. They walk in the way that Christ leads us in. They practice the truth that is revealed in God's Word. To make heaven our home, we must know that the way home is given to us in the Word of God. It is the Word of truth. It is through Christ's church, the body of the saved. In Matthew 16, 18, and 19, familiar passage to us, Jesus said to Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Do you see the way, the truth there? That to come into the church, to come into that hope of the kingdom of heaven, we have to walk in that which is bound here on earth, which God has given to us in His Word that He binds us to. Ephesians 1 and verses 22 and 23, He put all things under His feet. He gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. And again in Colossians 1:18, that the body and the church, they're synonymous, one in the same. There is one body and one spirit as you're called in one hope of your calling, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. One body, one church, one body of the saved, the called out, called by the same message, having a desire to go to heaven and hearing of that place called heaven and a way to get there, and a decision must be made to turn from self and to walk in the way with Christ in the way of truth. We do so, and when we do, we are joined to the body of the saved, His church. The way to heaven is the way of one faith then. As Ephesians 4 and verse 5 says, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And as Romans 10:17 tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Any faith comes by hearing. But the faith that saves is the faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. You can't just hear about heaven and desire to go there and hear something about a way to get there, and if it's not the truth of God's Word, if it's not the truth that Jesus has authorized, then we're going the wrong way. We understand that, don't we? We understand it if we ask for directions and somebody says, gives us directions that are wrong. How do I get to the mall? Well, I don't know how some people get to the mall, but it's not the way I would get there. It's not the easiest way to get there. Maybe not even the right way to get there. And you know, if you get the wrong directions, you're going to end up at the wrong location, aren't you? That's true here when we're going from point A to point B. And it's also true of that spiritual journey from here to heaven. If we get the wrong directions, we're not going to get there. The directions are given to us by God. You know, that's always amazed me how that people would rather trust in their feelings, trust in maybe what some friend or some loved one has told them, what they have to do to be saved and to have a hope of heaven, but they're not willing to listen or to read the Word of God. And God doesn't want any of us to perish, wants all of us to come home to Him, but they won't listen to God's directions to get there. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. In 2 John verses 9 through 11, very plainly it says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. The practice of a false doctrine is the practice of an evil deed. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he didn't mean there's other truths. He meant he is the truth. His word is the truth. In him there is life. And the way to the Father is through him and through practicing his commandments. In Philippians 3 and verse 16, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. What's that tell us? We noticed this morning in our adult Bible class, and Jude tells us that the word was once for all given. This is saying the same thing. We are to walk by the same rule. We are to mind the same thing. There's not a gospel for one group and another gospel for another group and another gospel for another group. We are to mind the same thing. We are to be of the same mind. The only way we can be of the same mind if we hear the same thing. If we walk by the same rule, the rule of Christ. To make heaven our home, we must know the way. And we must know that one way is not as good as another. Jesus made that clear, didn't he? In Matthew 7 and verses 13 through 14 in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are there that go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Does that sound like one way is just as good as the other? Enter by the narrow gate, the straight way. Is it difficult? It's difficult because it requires discipline. It's difficult because it does require a decision on our part, and it requires discipline on our part to stay true to that decision, to stay in the way that leads to life and that place of peace and home, that place of safety, that place of comfort, that place of fellowship. Philippians 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I don't know, maybe it's my sense of humor, but I don't know. He picked on the man there, you know, the way that seems right to the man. the way that, you know, you're out driving around and you're trying to get someplace and you've lost your directions, and the man says, well, it seems like we should go this way. How often does that work? It's good just to ask your wife, what seems right to you? That's what I've found out. We learn that just in our own experience, don't we? I don't care if you're in a wood someplace or on the road someplace, generally the way that seems right is not the right way. That it's better off to refer to a map or a compass or something rather than depend upon what seems right to you. And it's that way spiritually. The way that seems right is not right. We must depend upon the way, the truth, and the life that is revealed by Christ. Know the way. And once knowing the way, walk in that way. It's a straight and narrow way, but it's described as a highway. You know, when you think of a straight and narrow way, you think of a difficult way, and that's exactly what Jesus is trying to say. It's a disciplined way. But when you think of the highway, you think of, well, it's not that difficult. It's better than the byways and the sideways. And when you walk in that disciplined way, living to the glory of God, you've made that decision, you've made it your aim to walk that way. It's not that difficult. You're walking it with others. When you think of a highway, you think of the fact that you're not alone. And the church, if you're in the church, you're not alone. It's a body of brothers and sisters in Christ. We encourage each other in our walk with God, in our way home. Isaiah 35 and verse 8 says, "The highway shall be there, and a road. And it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it." Because those two things are completely contradictory to one another, aren't they? Holiness is set apart from uncleanness. And uncleanness is set apart from holiness. They're going two completely opposite directions. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Just do what Jesus says, and you'll be fine. Do it to the best of your ability, and you'll be fine. Just do what the doctrine of Christ teaches us, and you're in that highway of holiness. It is the way out of self. In Matthew 16 and verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." See, it takes more than desire. It takes desire, but it also takes a decision. It takes a commitment to deny yourself and follow Him. The highway home is out of self and into Christ. Galatians 3 and verses 26 and 27 says, "You are the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And then he explains that. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Why were you baptized into Christ? Because the doctrine of Christ, the word of faith, tells you to. To be baptized for the remission of your sins, to be baptized into Christ, to be baptized by the authority of Christ, to have your sins washed away by His blood. He paid the sacrifice for our sins, paid the wage of our sin on our behalf, that we might turn from our sins and walk with Him. The sons of God will gain the inheritance of God, an inheritance by His side, in His home, in His glory. All spiritual blessings are found in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. We must grow in the faith, add to our faith, virtue, the quality of excelling beyond our present attainments, striving for excellence, add to virtue, all of those things. Our faith must grow. And it will grow as we walk this highway. We must endure to the end. And having endured to the end, we will indeed find the destination of that highway of holiness. We'll come into that abode of heaven. In Matthew 25 and verse 34, the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. A highway is there. It's a highway that's been prepared for all. Do you have a desire to walk it? Have you decided to live by its directions? Do you know the way? Are you walking in that way? If not, we'd encourage you today to make that decision. Confess Christ as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And from this day forward, keep His commandments in all things. If you're here today and a child of God, you're out of favor with Him, God invites you to come back, to make things right, to confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation today in any way, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.